the acceptable Christian sin of gluttony. My whole point in this series, ladies and gentlemen, quite frankly and quite honestly, and I've said this before, in my gatherings with Christians, and I'm guilty of the sin of gluttony, and this is a sin that will tell on you. It will tell on you. When you show up, people will know whether or not you are a glutton. And in my gatherings with Christians, preachers down through the years, I was ashamed and embarrassed that so many of us were overweight. I'm just speaking the truth to you. But what pained me the most was not necessarily my overweightness, but our collective totally being oblivious to, either intentionally or not intentionally, to our rotundity and our obesity as a group. I'm talking about in classrooms, in seminaries, at conferences, church meetings, church feastings, and eating together at restaurants, how oftentimes each and every one of us were carrying pounds that we should not be carrying. And God has laid on my heart to raise this issue. Whether we change or not, let's at least acknowledge our sin and acknowledge the problem. That's why I have titled this message, The Acceptable Christian Sin of Gluttony. We have just claimed it. It's just a part of the Christian fabric in our society. It's just it's just a thing that Christians and so-called evangelicals, we have accepted. And we preach hard on other sins, and we say no, 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 no to other sins, but we don't say no, no, no to obviously our sin of gluttony. And so I want you to go back with me to Ezekiel chapter 16, verse 49, to a very interesting passage that is hidden away in the book of Ezekiel that most people don't hear about. But there were some other sins in Sodom and Gomorrah that we have in our day and time. And that's why the other day I put forth a writing and telling people to stop lying to themselves and stop believing lies that it is global warming, it is this president or that president, or it's Mother Nature. You must understand very clearly. You need to get off of that. You must understand very clearly that God is dismantling and destroying America in love and mercy because of our sin. Don't blame it on the rain or no rain. Your creator. You cannot, listen to me very carefully. There are things happening to America right now that are inexplicable. other than the God who destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah is lovingly and mercifully chastising and rebuking America for not only the sins of the sinners, but the sins first and foremost of the saints, and then the government sanctioning homosexuality and homosexual marriage, which I don't even believe the homosexuals in Sodom and Gomorrah ever even thought about. Ezekiel chapter 16, verse 49. Behold, this was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom. Pride, and oh, how proud we are today, arrogant Christians, even preachers are some of the proudest people in the world. Arrogant preachers who have an entourage. I'm thinking about a preacher right now who he's really effectively out of the ministry now, but he had an entourage. We don't hear too much about him anymore. Pride, fullness of bread, which indicates overeating. This is an issue. This is a problem. Fullness of bread, an abundance of idleness. This is how you get off into fornication and homosexuality. Walking around wearing rabbit heads and wearing furry fake animals, trying to have sex with an animal, with a dog, men feeling on men like as they would a woman, women on top of each other. That's that when you have abundance of idleness, and there's no country in the world that has an abundance of idleness like America, as America, and fullness of bread. Don't tell me we're not full of bread. We're full of bread and everything else, macaroni and cheese, fried chicken, hot wings, cake, ice cream. An abundance of idleness was in her and in her daughters, neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and needy. And we're going to stop there, but we are going to visit this passage again in more context. Holy Father God, we thank you for your holy word in this striking verse that points out our sins in this day and time as it did in those days. Thus your holy word. And Lord, have mercy and grace upon us as your saints. Now Lord, we're guilty. You've been very gracious to us, but for some reason you laid this sin on my heart. You made me to be ashamed and embarrassed to be a part of that number. When we gather together as preachers and gather together as Christians, how that the entire class or the entire conference, 90% of the people are overweight. Some are just plain old obese, taking up 2 and 3 spaces. Can't even get on an airplane. Lord, for Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive us of our sins and help us to truly repent. And it is not easy to do so. So we need your grace, the power of your Holy Spirit, and Lord, help the obese saints, fat saints, overweight saints, take this preaching just like they take all of the gospel preaching I do. and they shout amen, and they are just thrilled about your grace. Lord, help them to take this message as well, and help us all to confess it as sin and repent. Help us, Lord, to at least acknowledge there's a problem in the church where we are too full of bread. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Still we pray that you'll save those who are lost today and revive those who are saved. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. You may be seated. Lord, help us to deal with this sin. Even though you have put upon us a soft conviction, and we appreciate that, but Lord, is still, we know it's wrong, and we need to repent, and we need your help. Ladies and gentlemen, this is an uncomfortable subject for many of us, but if you listen and take heed, this particular series can not only change your life spiritually, but it can save your life physically. In this chapter of his book, the prophet Ezekiel delivers a poetic description of the historical relationship between Israel and Yahweh. He describes the many ways God had blessed and looked out for his chosen people, Israel, as well as the many ways Israel had unfortunately turned away from and rebelled against God. Kind of like America. I have often said there has never been in the history of the world a more blessed country outside of Israel than America. The chapter abounds with strong, biting metaphors and truths. In the Jewish oral tradition, this chapter was not to be read or translated in public because of its lewd but accurate descriptors, they say. In the verse we are focusing on today, which we will deal with even more in the future, starting tomorrow, we find that one of the sins of Sodom and Gomorrah was not only homosexuality and sodomy, men touching on men and having sex, trying to call themselves having sex, doing that which is unseemly and ungodly. God does not mind men and women doing something in the marriage bed. God wants men and women to enjoy themselves if they're married. Marriage bed, the Bible says, is undefiled. And things need to happen. By the way, men need to get back to ravishing their wives. You know what it means to ravish. You got to get with it. And that's what women need, and that's what women want, and that's what you want, and that's what you need to do. God never said you need to be ravishing a ugly, stinking, hairy man, and you're ugly, stinking, hairy man. That's not how it's supposed to be. But there were some other sins in Sodom and Gomorrah that led to this and to this evil, this foolishness, this trying to turn God's world upside down on his head. Fullness of bread. The first thing wicked and evil people want to do is eat and drink before they engage in ungodliness and wickedness. But not only that, these people these so-called gays, and there's nothing gay about it, these homosexuals, these sodomites, oftentimes are rich for some reason. They have plenty of money, and they are idle, full of idleness. All this leads to thinking of ways to gain pleasure in some wicked, evil, ungodly way. When folks started talking about homosexual marriage, I told them then, years ago, that that's not what homosexuals want. They don't want homosexual marriage. Why? Because it takes away somewhat the evil, the wickedness of it. Some only wanted it because it was even more wicked to demand something like that. People love sin because, in the darkness of sin, because it is sin, it is wicked and evil, and that's what people love about sin and evil. They love it because it is evil, because it is dark. They love to fly in the face of God, knowing that they're wrong. People love rebelliousness. Jesus said they love darkness rather than light. And the more food you have in your big stomach, the more drink you have, the more time you have, the more evil you're looking for. And so, ladies and gentlemen, we find that one of the sins of Sodom was fullness of bread, which is likely related to an abundance of idleness, where we sit around and eat all day long trays of food, and no country has food laid out like America. My God, how God has blessed this country. I live in a fine city that across the street from a Super Kroger is a Super HEB. And right down the street from them is a Super Walmart. Are you kidding me? And they're all of them are laid. When I say laid, I'm talking about laid out with food on trays, cheeses to try, just full of bread, all kinds of bread, by the way. Right across the street, in a small town. And the truth is, most of us foodies, full of food, full of breadies, we love it. We love it. We love it. There are people who go to these grocery stores just for the heck of it. Just trying to find something. They already have it. They already have stuff at home, but they want more. And by the way, it's a small town. But you can go there almost any time of the day, and all three are full. We are full of bread. We have so much food, we don't even have time to eat it all. Regarding this verse, Dr. John Walford writes, "The people of Sodom were proud and haughty, kind of like how we are in America, overfed, idle, unconcerned about the poor and needy." Oh, my soul, we're going to answer to God. I just told you, right across the street from HEB, a Super HEB, is a Super Kroger's, and we don't give a thought about the little brown and yellow babies with their stomachs poking out, trying to get find an ant or something to eat, a bug to eat. We don't think about it. You know we don't. We waste more food than they will eat in a month. not concerned about the poor and needy at all, and guilty of detestable acts, which probably refers to their homosexual lifestyle, no doubt. These were abominable sins of attitude and action. This is what being full of bread and having all this idleness leads to: debauchery, wickedness, thinking of ways to do it differently, sins of commission and omission. And yet the people of Jerusalem and Judah were far guiltier than were the people of Sodom. When you read the other prophets, especially Isaiah, Jeremiah, and Amos, you hear them naming the sins of the people of Judah and warning them that judgment was coming. Judgment was coming. Judgment was coming, oftentimes ignored, but judgment was coming. The people of Judah were twice the sinners the people in Samaria were. And by comparison, the people of Judah made the citizens of Samaria and Sodom look like they were doing well. Isn't it amazing when God's people, so-called, go into wickedness, they go deep. They go further than the rest. Even out-and-out secularists and sinners look at them and say, wow, boy, I tell you, those church folks are something else. They're just going buck wild. What a terrible indictment against God's chosen people. And us. Is the church today any less guilty? Members of local churches commit the same sins we read about in the newspapers, but the news doesn't always get to the headlines. Congregations are being torn apart because of professed Christians who are involved in lawsuits, divorces, immorality, family feuds, crooked business deals, financial scandals, and a host of other activities that belong to the world. Is it any wonder that lost sinners pay little attention to our public ministry or our personal witness? And then when we do try to witness and minister publicly, we got a big old fat stomach with diabetes written all over it, setting a bad example and having a bad testimony. And we love to have it so, and we have accepted it. And we should have never accepted it. Indeed, the gluttony of many in the church can prevent us from being effective in our witness to a dying and lost world. And that is the primary reason why we need to address this issue and take the steps necessary to reverse course and honor God in our bodies, so that we can lift Him up in a lost and dying world, for His glory, praise, and honor, and for the salvation of the lost. And so, dear friend, if the Lord tarries His coming and we live, next time we will continue looking at what this passage tells us about overcoming the sin of being full of bread, gluttony, and the results of obesity, and God's plan for man's eating habits. Let's pray. Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank You, Lord, for Your holy word. And thank You, Lord, how You have covered all of the bases for our lives. Help us to confess our sin of being full of bread, overeating, and gluttony. Help us to not accept it anymore. And Lord, help us to make the necessary steps to repent of this sin and to turn from our evil ways and our idleness and other such foolishness, the sins that accompany this sin. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, and for his sake, amen. Now, a few practical steps as takeaways. In the Rave Diet and Lifestyle book, Mike Anderson continues sharing the importance of exercise as a part of your dietary changes. You say, "Preacher, did you exercise yesterday?" Yes, I did. Today. Yes, I did. "Did you exercise yesterday?" Yes, I did, by the grace of God. You say, "Preacher, did you want to exercise?" No, I did not. But I like to do it because once it has been done, because I feel a whole lot better. And I can think clearer. Anyway, Mr. Anderson writes today, when you're sedentary, you lose muscle mass. When active, you gain muscle mass, and that is the key to burning more calories. Don't use the excuse that your metabolism slows down with age. Back up in the back. Back up. He says that's nonsense. Metabolism is a function of lean body mass. The more you have, the higher your metabolism. Get moving, build up your lean body mass, and your metabolism will move with you. He goes on to say there is a secret known to those who exercise regularly. Exercise creates energy. He said exercise actually creates energy. Don't wait for energy, he says, to come to you when you're tired. When you feel that afternoon slump, and for some of us, the morning slump, shake it off and get your body moving. Taking a 15-minute walk will keep you more awake and alert the rest of the day than an afternoon nap. And we all know that that is true. With that said, beloved, in closing today, as we are focusing on overcoming the sin of gluttony and managing our bodies as God wants us to, we must not lose sight of the most important part of our existence, our spiritual life. Is your soul saved? Is your soul and your spirit in shape? If not, get in shape today by trusting Christ as your Savior. Jesus Christ said in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." All you have to do to be saved from sin, the power of sin, and the punishment of sin, which is eternal hell, and live an abundant life, is to put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe in your heart that Jesus Christ suffered, bled, and died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose again. And pray and ask him to save your soul, and he will save you. I'll be glad to lead you in that prayer, for Romans 10:9 and 13 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So believe on the Lord Jesus Christ tonight. Trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, and he will save you. I'll be glad to lead you in prayer. Repeat after me, phrase by phrase. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner and that I have done evil in your sight. I have broken your Ten Commandments by lying, by dishonesty, by taking your holy name in vain, by coveting and lusting after people and things that don't belong to me, by dishonoring your name, taking your name in vain, dishonoring my parents, disobeying my parents, and many other sins. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of all of my sins. As I now believe with all of my heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died for my sins, was buried, and rose again. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul and change my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to repent of my sins past and to follow you in the new life. In Jesus Christ's name I pray, and for his sake, amen. Ladies and gentlemen, if you believed in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose again, allow me to say to you, congratulations on doing the most important thing in life, and that is trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my pamphlet, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Dear friend, if you trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today, please email me at dw3@GospelLightSociety.com and let us know. We have some free material that we want to send you. If you have a prayer request, please email that to us as well, and we will pray for you until you tell us to stop. God loves you. We love you. And may God bless you real good, is my prayer.